Market View on Money FM 89.3.
We're only about 21 days into the new year, and already there's been a lot of activity in the startup scene, particularly in the fintech space, with a number of aspiring fintech and digital banking candidates looking at Indonesia in particular for possible opportunities to enter or usher Indonesia into the digital banking space. But why now, and what exactly might be at stake? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Tama Febrian. He's at Fitch Ratings and an associate director at Fitch for financial institutions. And he's here to share with us what he thinks this might do to shake up the Indonesian banking space and what opportunities there might be for players like C Limited that are interested in taking a slice out of the growing fintech space out in Indonesia. Tama, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health during these times. And welcome to the show. Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, John. Happy to meet you too.
Before we get into things, and can you help our listeners understand why Indonesia is turning into a burgeoning battleground for these fintechs, both local and foreign? What exactly is at stake in this particular market? And why Indonesia, and why not other similar economies? Why? What's so special about Indonesia?
Yeah, so we think that the few fintech deals that we've seen so far are actually just the beginning of a likely wave of further acquisitions and possibly bank fintech partnerships in the region. And I think Indonesia is particularly quite attractive given the banking industry's relatively high margins, the large underserved and unbanked segment, as well as the low household leverage. Now, this is not to say that some of the other markets in the regions are not attractive, because I think they are. And we have argued in the past that Philippines also has a big market potential for the fintech to thrive, in part to due to the similar structural features as Indonesia, though perhaps with relatively lower margins. Now, I think just zooming in on the Philippines, if you notice that the BSP, the central bank, has actually published guidelines on digital bank framework around November 2020, and following footsteps from some of its peers in the region, let's say Singapore and Malaysian regulators, which we think could help spur investors' appetite as well into investing into the digital banking space there. So to us, I think it's really just a matter of time before we see similar deals and partnerships also happening in the Philippines.
Let's take a look at the broader fintech space. And, you know, there's so many tech firms that are really interested in getting a slice out of this. For instance, we have C Limited, which is a Singaporean-founded gaming and e-commerce giant. They're looking to acquire enlarge its footprint in the Indonesian banking sector as a way of getting into digital banking. There we've got Gojek, an Indonesian tech giant of its own right, also looking at fintech space. Why are so many tech firms from e-commerce and gaming to ride sharing so interested in rushing into the digital banking space in particular? And what's in it for them long term, especially with regards to how it might transform their particular businesses?
Yeah, so I guess apart from the lucrative potential that I mentioned earlier, I think there is also this inherently like this DNA among these regional tech players that they wanted to be a one-stop shop for basically everything that we do, you know, and that includes payment and financial services. And perhaps that's also, they also draw the conclusion from the success of, let's say, the Tencent-backed WeBank, one of the largest digital bank in China. And it seems quite clear that, you know, just drawing the firm's conclusion, that there's so much to be gained for these tech players by going into this space. Firstly, you know, from the margins, typically from the higher yielding segment that they would get just by virtue of actually targeting the underserved and the unbanked segment. Second is, I'll probably argue that more importantly, is also the amount of insight that it can get from the customer payment and financial data that they could use to further hone their cross-selling abilities across the many business lines that they have. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of potentials on this front for them.
Interesting. And of course, on the flip side of things, Tama, we have to talk about the incumbent banks in Indonesia, and they are no small fries. What are the threats posed to some of these incumbent banks? And what is at their disposal resource-wise to thwart the digital upstarts?
Yeah, so the entrance of these regional and established tech players are likely to increase competition in space, potentially pressuring the incumbent's profitability over time. But our base case right now is that any impact is likely to be manageable, given the fact that the new digital banks, you know, are likely to first target niche segments in a sector, such as the younger demographics or the higher risk SME, the underserved segment, which I mean, currently most banks have intentionally shied away anyway, you know, given the higher risk that they entail. And I think the pandemic has also forced a lot of the incumbent banks to accelerate their digitalization, which potentially can close off some of the potential gaps that the new players can take advantage of. Now, that said, we do think that for those new players with extensive customer base or are backed with some of the larger corporates with strong financial resources, you know, I'm talking in the likes of, you know, Grab and Singtel, they could potentially pose a formidable threat to these incumbents. With the smaller banks potentially being at a greater risk of losing out, especially those with subpar digital capabilities. Now, obviously, this would all depend on how the competition plays out and how the new tech players can, how successful they could actually execute their strategies.
Still speaking to Tama Febrian, he's Associate Director for Financial Institutions at Fitch Ratings. He's here to talk to us about the developments in the fast-changing digital landscape for digital banking across the Southeast Asian region. Tama, could we see a future where the incumbent big banks in Indonesia, for instance, dominate the more developed banking spaces like corporate and commercial banking, investment banking, some of the retail sectors in the big urban areas, while these digital upstarts start to build their beachheads in the more underdeveloped areas like the rural space, or even servicing some of these unbanked places in Indonesia? Is that going to be the demarcation between these two moving forward? Are these the territories that each side can claim? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think if you're talking about like the first 5 years of inception, let's say, of when the digital banks come into the market, we think that could be definitely a likely scenario. Because if you look at the rationale given by some of the regulators who have actually published on the digital bank frameworks, it's quite clear that they, you know, one of the reasons is actually they would like to see the new players help to better serve the underserved segment in their respective countries. So by this virtue, we think that it's very likely that these new banks, you know, will first try to build their presence in the segments. Now, that said, I also wouldn't rule out the possibility of them making inroads to the higher quality banking customers either. But we think that that's probably more of a medium term story or risk. And when it comes to how great of a risk is this for the incumbents, well, many of the incumbent banks have been beefing up their investment in IT so far, which should help them, you know, fend off this new competition when the time comes.
And Tama, I think the other question we have is a lot of this still will depend on the cyber and tech infrastructure in these particular countries. You know, and you were talking about how widespread the telco reach is, the quality of broadband, for instance. How important is this space going to be for the digital banking aspirants? And will growth and development in the tech and telco space, if we may call it that, have to happen in lockstep with digital banking for this space to really thrive in these fast-growing but relatively underdeveloped and underserved parts of the world?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely crucial for these digital banks to have that proper digital and regulatory infrastructure in place already before they grow. Because as you rightly mentioned, you know, when we're talking about, you know, cyber security infrastructure, internet, more importantly, let's say internet penetration, the speed of the connection of it itself is also one important aspect, because you know these digital banks will basically rely on this infrastructure to access their customers, given that they don't have any physical branches. So apart from that, you know, we think that a supportive regulatory environment, such as you know, basically allowing some of these players to conduct a full EUKYC or customer identification, would also be very helpful to support their growth. But we note that on this front, not all regulators in the regions have allowed such practices. You know, basically, some actions still require customers to go to branch for verification due to, you know, let's say, minimizing fraud risk, et cetera. But I think there seems to be some shift generally among the regulators in the way that they think in terms of allowing banks to do this in view of the accelerating digitalization across the countries.
Very interesting thoughts. We'll have to leave it there, though. Tama Fabrian, Associate Director for Financial Institutions at Fitch Ratings, thanks so much for stopping by and joining us on Money FM 89.3 to share your thoughts on the quick and busy start to the year for the fintech space here in, and the digital banking space, that is, here in Southeast Asia. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times and a pleasant day ahead. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.